Welcome to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast.
Welcome back to A Fork in Time, the Alternate History Podcast. Don sitting in the primary host chair today, but joined by the co-founder of the podcast and the co-host. Oh, by the way, she's also my daughter. That would be a
minor detail.
Minor detail. One of the things that actually drives me nuts, for those that have heard me go on this soapbox rant, you'll see this sometimes on like American Idol or other shows where they're announcing results when they say, in no particular order. Well, they're about to actually do it in an order. What they really
in mean, a particular, no significant order?
You've heard me say that. My daughter knows exactly what I'm talking about here. The correct phrase is no significant order versus no particular order. That concludes your what's a pet peeve of Don section that leads off the podcast here today. But in significant order, daughter would be above the other two things that I mentioned. So, Alexis, good to have you joining here.
Good to be here.
All right. So, as I talked about on episode 101, this is episode 102. Now they have three digits.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, that's different is what that is. But by the way, it also changes how you name files and a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But I noticed it because I had templates that had 00XX in terms of like the episode number. Well, now the zero needs to either be an X or a one.
Yeah.
And so little stuff like that as we move forward. Again, more minutiae the audience really doesn't care about. But you're starting to get to know us, so you know you get your fair share of minutiae here on A Fork in Time, the Alternate History Podcast. So as I talked about under episode 101, which was the first part of the State of the Pod podcast, this is now the second part of the State of the Pod episode. And Alexis is joining here today. And what we wanted to do was not spend a lot of time. We've done these retrospectives before. We're not going to do them on every significant number. But 100 seems like a number that needs that attention. So we decided to do it right after that. And, of course, I'd already promised Chris on episode 100, if he could come up with a way to avoid World War II, we would make that a significant thing. And we sort of did, but I think sort of didn't, if you've listened to that episode.
Well, it's like with me. We inevitably end up in England, even though we might not be talking about anything remotely related to England, or at least we think not.
Yeah, and but still it happens.
It happens. So, yeah. Chris, I understand.
Right. So anyway, we'll pick back up here after the break, and what we're going to do today is do a little bit of a retrospective, looking back the first 100 episodes. Again, it's sort of the second part of the episode 101 that we've already released, and we hope that you join us after the break, so stay tuned.
Alexis here, taking a little break from the podcast with...
with me, it's Don.
And we want to tell you a little bit about the site we actually use to host our podcast, and that would be Buzzsprout. So what are some of the features that you really, really like about Buzzsprout, Dad?
One of the things that I do most of the editing and posting, so I probably interact with it far more than Alexis did. One of the things I like about it is easy to use. It's point and click. The interface is really straightforward and clean. So it's easy to know once you've got a file, what you do, how you get it uploaded, all the various things that you would do, scheduling, just the mechanics I find pretty simple to use. So I think myself being pretty technically savvy, but I don't think you have to be technically savvy in order to be able to do. Buzzsprout has a lot of wonderful tutorials I've used on that about equipment and how to do things and other things like that. So that's one of the things I like. They make it easy. I think they're relatively inexpensive. You can easily get your podcast started for a low initial investment, and then as it grows, be able to do some additional things with it. And I like it, but we've talked about this a number of times, because of the stats and the feedback and the other things that they do that allow us to understand not only how many listeners and how many downloads, but where those listeners are. We can get a better understanding about this time that we're spending recording this stuff. Is anybody actually listening to that?
And Buzzsprout says yes.
Buzzsprout makes that easy. So what's the deal that we've managed to get for... for our listeners if they want to explore the world of creating their own podcast on Buzzsprout?
Yeah, if you follow the link in our show notes, you can get set up on Buzzsprout. And because you follow that link, we get a little bit of support from that. But then we're also supporting you as well, because we don't think of you as competition at all in this little, we say welcome to the podcast family. So if you are interested in starting your own podcast, but we think Buzzsprout is a great place to start, so follow that link in the show notes and they will walk you through setting up the process. Like Dad said, it was a super easy setup, tons of tutorials and tons of step-by-step instructions as we got started, because we didn't know really a lot when we got the podcast started. So Buzzsprout was a big help for us.
Good deal. We hope you check it out. Thanks. Welcome back to A Fork in Time, the Alternate History Podcast. I'm Alexis, joining you today for part two of the post-100 episode State of the Pod podcast. So, Lex, I'm going to ask some questions today. I'm also going to give the answers as well as we do a retrospective back. We're coming up on the second anniversary of the podcast. I've told the story before about how the podcast got started, how I was alone one weekend and had been thinking about it and just started knocking around on the computer and started researching how to do various things. Next thing you know, I'd recorded an introduction, which sort of committed us to go there. So we don't need to tell that story over again. And you and I had talked about it before, and of course you were willing to be part of the process as well. I've asked this question before, I think around episode 25. So I'm really, when we did a retrospective there, so I'm really curious to see if the answer is the same or if the answer is different.
Or even if I remember my answer, we'll have to go back and listen.
Actually, I was thinking the same thing in my head, but and we may have to do that, and listeners who may not have been here at episode 25 may have to do that. Actually, I think it's episode 26 that was actually the retrospective. I know the episode is called There Is No Fork.
Yep.
Which is a takeoff of There Is No Spoon. So I do remember that. The first question I'm going to ask is the same question. Two questions. What is the thing that is exactly what you thought it would be to have a podcast or to be a podcast host?
I thought that we would build a community. Maybe I did not expect the community to be as big or as global as it is. So I'm kind of answering your question and not answering your question at the same time. But, you know, I expected to kind of build this little community and kind of find people that were interested in it. Now, two things that I did not expect. I did not expect it to be as big and as global as it was. And I did not expect to actually meet and interact with people in real life that I met. The only reason I met them is because of the podcast. Like Chris.
Right. Again, that would equally be a surprise for me. I think I knew that we would get a listener. Yeah, in my mind, I guess we thought we would have a listener base or followers or whatever term you want to use to describe that. And I knew it was going to set up. The very first thing I did was, you know, set up a Gmail address. So at least there was a way somebody could email back. This is before I'd gone in and even set up the primitive version of the aforkintimepodcast.com, by the way. I just threw that in. That's reference number one. Before even setting
up. Oh, you're so good at the marketing thing.
Yeah.
You've learned a little bit from me, maybe.
Says the marketing professional sitting in the room here. I'm in sales, so it's similar. But
It's close.
But sales and marketing are not the same thing. That's also another thing we're not going to talk about. Plenty of podcasts, by the way, that will help you with that if you're interested in that. But I guess, I knew there would be a community. I just didn't know we would interact with them quite the way we have. And interact with them being on the show by this point. I guess at some point I may have envisioned having guests on.
Not as quickly as we did.
Yeah, I knew that there would be guests that were among my base of friends and acquaintances. And, you know, the first episode that had a guest, trivia question, you know what episode number that was? First of all, do you know who the guest was?
See, the person I have in my head is not the right guest, so I'm not even going to say it because I know it's wrong.
Say who you think it is.
I have Ryan Cole in my head. Is it Ryan Cole?
Ryan Cole is the correct answer, and the episode is
Congrats, Ryan.
Yeah, is episode number 7.
Oh, see, I was going to say 9, so I was close.
It's episode number 7. It was Ryan Cole, who is a little bit younger than Alexis, but is a good friend.
No, he's not. He's older.
He's older than you. That's right. But in the same general age range as Alexis.
Yes.
and is a good friend of the family, and his father is actually one of my better friends, and history buff, and all kinds of stuff that his father Kenny and I can talk about. Still haven't managed to get Kenny on the show yet.
No, but that needs to happen. Yeah, before episode 200, Kenny will be on the show.
I would have guessed by episode 100 that would have happened, but Ryan's actually been on twice, because Ryan was on that solo episode that was part of the joint, the biggest episode we've had, I think, well, not the second largest episode in terms of having the number of simultaneous folks, which was an episode about what if there had been no Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that was episode number 7, and I've now totally talked myself out of remembering what my train of thought was here. Oh, the fact that we build a community and we have guests. But I didn't expect that, for example, by show 100, we would have found someone like a Brent who's participated multiple times, someone like a Chris who's now formally in the position of being a contributor to the show. I wouldn't have expected that, and I'm glad that happened, even though it wasn't what I expected.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, glad it happened, but wasn't expecting it to happen this quickly, for sure.
Yeah. So, and again, quick is relative. 100 episodes seems like a lot. It's not a lot, because I listen to podcasts that number their episodes that are into the thousands.
At least half that.
So I know what it is and what it isn't, but it's also, you know, further along than episode 7, for example, at that time. So that was, like you, that was the thing, I guess, that I sort of, that was your answer to the thing you sort of...
I expected it, but again, not in the way it happened.
Okay. So then the other part of that question is, what was the thing you absolutely, totally didn't expect to have happen? If anything.
I mean, that one's hard. I guess... And I don't know if it's because I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I was familiar with the genre and kind of the process and things like that. So I don't know if there was anything that really took me off guard or really was like, I was not expecting that at all. But yeah, it's just been pleasant surprises of, I think this is going to happen, and then it happens in a different way or in a bigger way than I was expecting.
Yeah, I get that. I think this is the answer that I'm about to give is still the exact same answer from when we did this back three quarters of a podcast lifetime ago. And that was, I didn't know, because we didn't have episodes when we started, the type of statistics that Buzzsprout would show us. You already talked about the fact that we can see, you know, for the last episode, last 5 episodes, last 10 episodes, this sort of, well, the list, there's actually a list of individual cities, but the way you first see it is on a map that sort of shows by continent what the number of downloads or percentages are for that period of time. And then you can do it over the entire life of the podcast. So I knew there would be statistics, like how many downloads, but I didn't know. I literally did not know, because I didn't look at that there was going to be this map.
Right.
So the first time I see this map, now granted, we're like, you know, 30 or 40 listeners in, or at least that's what the listener matrix that the metric that Buzzsprout is showing us is. And there's suddenly now there are people that aren't in the United States, that aren't in Texas, that aren't in Houston, that aren't in the United States. I mean, initially it was a lot of that, but you know, suddenly realizing, oh, and I, again, we've never paid a penny to market this podcast.
Right.
And so anything that's been as a result of word of mouth, searches that people may do for topics on Google, or searches that they may do inside of their podcatchers, is purely organic in its growth, either by word of mouth marketing, social media marketing, or by those things. And so to suddenly realize by like underneath 50 listeners, definitely underneath 50 listeners, we have a quote unquote international audience, was quite a surprise to me. And then to see that, you know, continues on, and to see how that audience breaks. I'm actually going to pull it up here while we're talking, just so I have it in front of me. But that audience breaks about like you think it would. It is primarily North America. It's primarily, you know, certainly inside of that, the United States. But if I go back and I'm clicking on the all episodes now and waiting for the web page to refresh so that it'll tell me exactly what that means. But if we're looking at the percentage across the board for all episodes, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 76% of our listeners are in North America. But an astounding almost like a one-sixth of our listeners, almost 15%, are in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't surprise me, because we talk about English topics and go there frequently and all the things that are there, that's there. We're holding on to just a couple of listeners in South America and Oceania. So if you travel to South America and Oceania, spread the word of A Fork in Time, because they are definitely the underserved portion of the world. So that was the thing that surprised me. Shouldn't have surprised me because I probably should have read more about what stats will you get. But it did when I first saw them. Oh, stats. Okay, cool. And anybody who knows me knows I love statistics. So I'm drawn into this and, you know, then find myself sadly looking at stats, not necessarily daily, but I look at the stats pretty frequently. So that was the thing, I guess, that was a surprise. What is your, first of all, this is not fair. In some ways, it's not fair to Alexis because, again, I'm looking at it and she's not. But I'm going on to our internal site, the management site, and I'm going to see how well you can do on naming top episodes, Alexis. Top episodes represented here by the number of downloads.
Okay.
What do you think is the most... listen to is equivalent to download. So if I use them interchangeably, what is the most downloaded episode?
I know this. I swear I know this. And it's like totally going out of my head right now because I remember it's one of those outlier ones that we were like, what is driving this?
Actually, this particular one is not directly an outlier. This particular one, you may hear Madison, the show mascot in the background now. There's some weather going on here in the Houston area. I think she's responding to that. But the number one episode for downloads is the number one episode.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. So Indispensable was mm-hmm. the number one episode, and it actually has about 30% more downloads than its close second. But the second is not what you would have suspected being episode two. I do know because I've watched the statistics. People definitely have picked up on the show, and you can see where they've sort of gone back and they've, you know, caught up and, you know, done that whole, wow, that would be quite a little binge listen, thinking about, be forced to binge listen to me talking for 100-plus episodes. That's a scary thought. But Indispensable is the number one episode. Do you recall, because you didn't record that episode, Alexis, I did.
No.
Do you know what Indispensable's topic is?
George Washington.
First president, first episode, thought it was a good place to start. The number two episode is not, which was the first one you joined me on, is not the number two episode overall. By the way, I'm discounting the introduction thing, which is actually episode zero.
Right. That doesn't count in the equation.
Yeah. So the third most popular episode is the number two episode, which is No Round Tables.
Yep. Prince Arthur.
That's the two of us. And it's not that far behind the number two episode, but the number two episode is not the number two episode by downloads is not the number two episode by order.
Right.
And I'm not going to put Alexis on the spot. That actually still remains the number five episode, which is Defeat on D-Day.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So that... I bring that up as a fact, just, you know, it's sort of an interesting just trivia thing, but the fact that that's when I suddenly realized that topics matter in terms of, obviously, which episodes get the most listened to and which ones don't makes perfect sense, and that some things are obviously much more likely to get caught in a web search and thus be found. We'll talk about another episode that fits in that category here in a second, but it has, even though it was a month after... the ones that are directly behind it. By the way, after episode five, it goes 2, 3, 4. So that one is early. Makes sense that an early episode would have more downloads and listens just because there's been more time, more opportunity to do so. But it jumps out of sequence. But other than that, it would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, okay, that makes perfect sense. And then you see 6 scattered in a little bit further down, which is Diana Buckles Up is episode 6. But then there is this real outlier, and that one is actually episode 56 that actually holds right now, the not counting the introduction, it actually holds the 6th highest download number. And do you know what the topic of episode 56 was, Alexis?
No, I don't remember.
It was the first episode in our 4-part Hurricane History series. Does that help you? I see a nod now.
Yes, that would be the Spanish Armada.
That would be the episode we call Protestant Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Again, interesting note here. I think I knew that term applied to the Spanish Armada, but not how. That is a popular term that's used to apply to.
Which is funny because I don't ever remember it being called that in any of my history classes, and I was a history minor in college.
Yeah. But what we quickly, I think, discovered there, because then I got curious, was we did a Google search on Protestant Win, and by golly, our episode of our little bitty alternate history podcast was on the second page of the Google search. So if somebody went searching for that term because it was associated with the Spanish Armada, 1588, do I have the date?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, there you go. It's amazing how much more I've learned English history dates, even though I thought I knew them before, is that term was causing it to be recognized. And so people, and so it's a real outlier. If you look for the episodes that are around it, I'm scrolling down now. So episode 55, I'm still scrolling. I don't even remember what it is. I'd actually have to sort these in a different order to figure out what they are. But just to put it in perspective, I'm actually going to sort them in order so I can actually see that number here now. The episode before, episode 55, was A What If by Any Other Name, which was actually a discussion about the difference between alternate history and counterfactuals. So it's not a surprise to me that that one didn't exactly get tons of traction. The one after that was another one of our hurricane history ones. That one happened to be on the Washington Washed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was on the War of 1812, the 1814 event in D.C. Protestant Wind has double the number of downloads as the
episode. It's all about those search terms.
It's all about those search terms and about things that people find interesting. So you probably found none of that interesting, by the way, as listeners, but we find it fascinating. But it actually, that also surprised me, was the importance of what was out there and what was there. So that's popularity by downloads, but that's not the way you and I probably think about that. So Alexis, what is the favorite episode you've ever done?
Oh, that's hard. That's like picking your favorite, I don't know, child or animal or something. I mean, it would probably be something English history related. I do have a soft spot in my heart for No Round Tables. That was the first episode I was on, and I have a funny connection to that episode in my head, being that I was home for the weekend. At that point, I did not live in Houston, and I was home for the weekend, and I was upstairs in my room, and I believe you and Mom were about to start watching The Spanish Princess, which is kind of what that episode ended up being based on, because it's around Prince Arthur and Catherine of Aragon. And I remember, it was either you or Mom, I don't remember who, but I remember you yelling up saying, "You might as well come down here because we're going to have questions." So whenever I think about that episode, I kind of always go back to that memory of my head of, we know you want to watch this and you might as well come watch it with us because we're going to have to pause it because we're going to have questions.
Yeah. I remember that as well, too. And I remember that episode, too, because that was also the first episode after I'd bought the very first, quote-unquote, new mic that we were using. It was actually a small portable omnidirectional mic, so we could do
yep.
for that. So it was actually breaking that mic in, which is very different than what we have now, which actually ties to a little small mixing board and the other things that are there. Hopefully you've noticed an improvement in the quality audio over time. It's a little bit trickier, though, when we don't get to use these mics when we do, like, the recording with somebody remote. So we're using an internet, a Zoom, or some other type of meeting environment to record it. And so we lose the benefit of having a mixer board and having quality mics with pop screens and all that. So if you had to name the one, is No Round Tables going to take the top slot for you?
For nostalgia purposes, yes.
Okay. I think I would agree with that. It may be one of my favorite episodes that you've ever done. We've done a lot of ones that I've enjoyed together. I actually enjoyed, one of the ones I enjoyed that you and I did together was the one on Do We Have Mercedonius this year. It was about the...
That was a fun one, too.
Yeah, about it was a calendar-related episode. And then we did another one, actually, about Daylight Savings Time, which also was a little bit of different, because it wasn't, you know, people weren't dying, there weren't fleets, there weren't ships sinking, you know, the other kind of history that's not quite as deadly. Type of thing. My favorite episode is actually hard for me to come to. My favorite episode might be that first. It probably is one of the episodes I've done with co-hosts, and nothing against Alexis, that weren't her, because the ones that are her stick out a little bit more for me. It would be a tough call. That first episode with Ryan, which was called 42 Revisited.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the changing baseball history, something we both have a passionate for, and talking about the impact and the relationship with race and baseball history. And I really enjoyed doing that podcast, partly because I really enjoy talking to Ryan. I really enjoyed the subject, both the subject being baseball and the subject being about, you know, the connection of baseball and race relations. all of those things together. But it was also the first time I realized, hey, this thing that really led me to want to do this thing, you can like almost record a conversation you would have just had out of the blue with somebody, and you can make that into a podcast. That was reinforced there. So that episode 7, the first guest episode with Ryan, probably fits that boat, and that's 42 Revisited.
Yeah, that's one of those episodes, it sticks out in my head because it's one of those that I remember exactly where, I obviously was not on that episode, it was you and Ryan, but I remember exactly where I was when I was listening to that episode. I think part of the reason for that is because it was so impactful and because it was such a good episode. I mean, I remember I was driving back from Bastrop, which if you're not familiar with Texas geography, is up near Austin. So it's about 3 hours from Houston, and I was listening to that episode. So yeah, it sticks out in my head. I remember exactly what I was doing, and I think part of the reason for that is the conversation was compelling and the topic is compelling too.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think the one that I mentioned here, which was about the Lose the Force, which was this sort of fun thing where it was history, but it was totally something else. One of the first times we really went for that is another one that jumps out. I think you heard on episode 100, Chris talked about his favorite, which was Negated Nuke, which is one that we did also with Brant. So for me, my favorites would actually probably be the ones that actually relate to something about the guest host, either the interaction that you and I had, because it's part of the reason we do this is we enjoy doing it together. It's something that we share, but also just some of those other guest hosts as well. Okay, I'm going to go to the cringeworthy place now. Your least favorite episode, the episode you would lock away in the vault and never let anyone listen to again, except to delete it would produce this skip in continuity that we would have to constantly explain. Do you have one of those?
Yeah, because it's an episode I did.
Which one is that?
That'd be Titanic.
And why is that your least? Because it's not the subject that makes it your least favorite episode.
No, I think it's when I was recording it. So, and you've probably noticed this if you've listened from the beginning of the podcast. At the beginning, I was very off the cuff when I would do episodes by myself. Then I realized you need to start coming up with an outline, and then that kind of morphed into actually I make it a script for myself that I will deviate from the script, but I script myself. So I did not realize how short that episode was going to be until I was done with it, and it was kind of one of those things that was like, well, there's not really much more to add that fits in with the topic. I could just talk about the Titanic for another 45 minutes. But the topic was the fact that the Titanic would have been used as a hospital ship had it not sunk in World War I. So yeah, that episode is very, very short. So I think it's that reason. I kind of cringe at how short it is.
Okay. And it was called The Unsinkable Hospital, episode 49, for those of you that want to go back and...
Because we're not going to delete it.
Yeah, again, we'd have to explain why there is no 49. We go from 48 to 50, and we're not going to do that. But it's not a bad episode. It's just what's there. And you want to take a guess on how long it really is. Now, this is including now intro theme. I don't remember if we were actually... yes, we were dropping in brand mentions by that point. So it includes a brand... It includes an ad or a brand mention and includes the outro theme. So... Conclusive, start to finish.
Oh, it's less than 10 minutes.
It's actually 11 minutes.
Okay.
Only because of about 30 seconds of intro, the outro, and an ad. The actual content of the episode is probably...
Like 9 minutes.
9 minutes, 8 minutes. So I knew Alexis was probably going to answer that. I'm going to tell you what my worst is, and sometimes we get there. This is, again, confession is sometimes good for the soul, right? Is that we've been in very good periods where we've been very good about being several weeks ahead. So we had stuff in the can, and then just like anything that you do that's not your real full-time job, you suddenly realize, oh my goodness.
We need an episode.
We need an episode, and we're scheduled to go out, which is why we've slipped back from Wednesdays to Thursdays to Fridays and occasionally been a little bit late. I'm still very proud of the fact that we've never missed a whole week. We've come close, but we've never missed a whole week. Now, sometimes that means we threw up not necessarily the most prepared episode, or in many cases, those are the ones, particularly earlier on, that would have been the off-the-cuff, solo-type episodes, which we know are not our thing there. But actually, the ones that I cringe at a little bit and actually want to go back and do because I can believe they can be done so much better, episodes 11, 12, and 13.
Oh, that was Bubonic Plague.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, okay, been around... We're 10 whole episodes into this thing now. We've been around long enough. We can do a multi-week theme thing and it's okay. And I'd been reading some stuff and dealing with some stuff around this. So I was all into understanding and knowing more about the Black Death and its impact and all of that. So I managed to take and stretch into three episodes what probably at best could have been one, maybe two. It's a big topic. It probably is worthy of two episodes, but split it into three episodes. Three solo episodes that are not exactly the shortest episodes ever known to man either. And so I remember being at an event. It was actually someone's retirement, and talking to their kids who are listeners, one of them actually being Ryan. So that connects with us. This was at Kenny's retirement. And we were talking about the podcast. This was shortly after that had been released. And the comment that I made was, I don't know about growing a podcast, but I know one of the ways to kill a podcast early on, because the numbers, the downloads there were just horrible. Not that we were trending way up to before that, but it was like, okay, people listened to the first one, and when they saw it was part two, they sort of didn't listen to it. When they saw it was part three, they definitely didn't listen to it. So my least favorite episodes probably is not one episode, it's actually that series of episodes for a number of different reasons. Great topic, a topic I'd actually like to come back and revisit in a different environment with different people doing different things that are there. And so episodes 11, 12, and 13, which are titled Pockets with No Posies, Part 1, Part 2, and because it was completely unnecessary, Part 3. So there's my little confession that relates to that. So any other thoughts about favorites or not favorites?
I also agree with you. I like being on episodes that have a co-host. Again, nothing against you, but I like being on podcast. I've been on a couple with Chris and one with Brant. Now, I have one. We bring up Ryan a lot, but I have one with Ryan that I was planning before this whole pandemic thing started. So I need to circle back with him because I think it'd be a really, really good one. So I like being on episodes with co-hosts, whether that's you or whether that's somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. So that was interesting. So now a couple of just other almost housekeeping things, but also in the retrospective look back. So it's been almost 2 years, and we have the number of listeners that we do. Who has come up to you? Has anyone come up to you that you already knew, that you didn't suspect would be a listener to the podcast, but in fact has told you that they listen to the podcast? Have you had that experience yet?
I have not had that experience yet, personally.
Okay.
Have you?
I have. Actually, one of my coworkers, who I would have never dreamed was would have been interested in this or listening to it, saying that they're a regular listener. That came as a surprise to me. And then someone that I actually know back from high school days, also in that same category, that said that they had found it and are a regular listener to it. So that was a little bit of a surprise. Again, I knew that I had friends who would listen to it because it's the type of thing that they're interested in. But they have a couple people saying, oh, by the way, I really enjoy the podcast. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you were a listener to the podcast. So thank you. And spread the good word. So that was the other part that goes with that.
I have had a couple people that I've told about, and this actually ties into a funny story that happened last night. I have had a couple people in my life that I've told about the podcast that have definitely started listening to it, and they'll make comments about it. I was actually hanging out with my boyfriend's family last night, and we were outside just talking, and his sister came outside and didn't realize that we were just having a conversation, so I stopped talking, and she goes, oh, Alexis, I thought you were listening to a podcast or something. You have a very melodic voice. To which I responded, well, it's a good thing I co-host a podcast then. And she was like, exactly. So.
Yeah, I understand there. The again, it's that the interactions, you know, and, you know, you try not to actually, somebody asked me about my podcast t-shirt, which I don't think I've ever worn, by the way, just because that seems preposterous to do. Maybe it seems a little bit too self-absorbed.
I also bought him that shirt, by the way. It was a Christmas present.
Okay.
Not to guilt you into it or anything.
And I will wear it at some point. Again, it seems a little bit self-indulgent to wear it. But having said that, now I did forget where it came from. So there you go. I know it was a Christmas present now that I think about it. All right. A couple of quick things I do want to hit out because this is just another chance for people who may have missed episode 101 or on episode 102. We got feedback. We get feedback. So let's talk a little bit about feedback. Here recently, we got feedback. Be honest, when I first saw this feedback, I'm like, really? Really? I'm going to say that again. Really? So you know which thing I'm about to talk about, Lex.
Mm-hmm.
So we got feedback from a listener, and what was that feedback about?
The voice at the top of the podcast.
Okay, so what I'm going to do here, this is going to be through the magic of editing. Right now, after what I'm about to say, I'm going to go in and insert that voice. So in case you're one of the people that blows by that, what you're about to hear is like the first 5 to 6 seconds of the opening of the podcast starting now.
Welcome to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast.
So what you heard there was the robotic voice that says that welcomes you to a fork. Welcome, you know, we say welcome back. Welcome back to A Fork in Time. And that's the robotic voice. And then you hear the theme song, Conquer. Shane Ivers is the composer of that. And that comes from a source that provides royalty-free music. You have to acknowledge where it's coming from. So shout out to Shane Ivers. I really like the Conquer theme. It's like the fourth or fifth thing that I listened to. And I said, this sounds sort of epic and driving and exciting enough. And then we jokingly sometimes call the outro version of that, where it's recutted the Fork in Time
dance mix.
The dance mix, yeah, because it picks up a different part of it. So this particular person said that they liked the content of the podcast generally, but they don't listen as often as they would or should. And the reason why, they have very strong negative feelings about the automated voice. So that ticked me off a little bit, to be honest, as a starting point. But what I actually have done now, there's a brief survey. You'll see it in the show notes here. You can find it on the podcast website. It's one of four questions. It's a four-question survey. One of the questions in there is about the automated voice. I do want to get feedback more than a party of one. So go and give us honest feedback. Now, what I think Alexis didn't even realize was why that automated voice is there, right?
Correct. And yeah, I was going to bring up something after. I'll wait until you okay. complete that thought, but yes.
And the reason for that is one of the podcasts that I used to listen to back in the day related to a tabletop war game that I played. For those of you that know Warhammer 40K, it's Warhammer 40K. And there was a podcast called the 11th Company podcast, which I listened to pretty regularly, particularly when I was traveling a lot, because it was a long-form podcast with interviews, 2.5 hours. It was a great plane flight from here to Tulsa kind of podcast. And so it was a good thing to listen to, and I was really into the game at the time. And they, at the end of their opening theme music, had like this robotic voice. Again, something from the future sort of made sense. You know, the 11th company has landed. And I thought that was kind of cool. So when I was initially doing the intro to the podcast, I wanted to have an intro voice, but I didn't want the intro voice to be mine. So I'm like, I'll go search down an automated voice, thinking about the 11th company experience. And so that's where that came from. So it was born out of two things, and I mentioned this on last week's episode. It was sort of born out of necessity. I wanted a voice other than my own early on, you know, before doing that. And the second reason was it's almost a little bit of an homage back to that episode. But having said that, don't let that color your response. If you don't like it, tell us you don't like it. We'll look at doing something different. Also a chance for you to provide feedback on Conquer, the theme song that's there. But you were going to say something else. You put a pin in it.
Yeah, just, you know, I did not play Warhammer, so I did not listen to that particular podcast. But when you mentioned that, it kind of got me thinking, and we've mentioned this on the show before, you and I both listened to several podcasts. That was just one that you listened to. In fact, you and I listened to multiple podcasts that are the same. And so one of the things that kind of inspired this podcast was the fact that we like podcasts. And so you've heard me mention one of the ones I listen to all the time, Rex Factor, which is, of course, a English history podcast, surprise, surprise. But, you know, there are other podcasts that might not have directly influenced this podcast in the way that one did, but there are certainly other podcasts that either I listen to or you listen to or both of us that have kind of bled in, their influences kind of bled into the podcast in either not subtle or subtle ways.
Well, we talked about this, I think, last time, so I know we're repeating ourselves, but we have new listeners we know from time to time. Is one of the ones that you and I both listen to is Stuff You Should Know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know that podcast. That's Josh and Chuck, and I've always liked their conversational style. And yes, I do learn some things there, and sometimes I'm like, okay, that was not an interesting topic, but it was still fun to listen to Josh and Chuck talk to each other. But for example, I think the welcome back thing comes from something there, because I know that Josh, who leads that podcast off, normally says something like that. So I'm sure that I picked that up just by osmosis listening to that. And then certainly they talk about very often the Wayback Machine. We talk about the What If Machine. I know that's directly influenced by what's there And so, yeah, part of what drew us to do a podcast was an interest in the topical things that we do here, but also because we're both avid podcast listeners. We both complain about the fact that we have more podcasts in our podcatchers than we listen to, and then we decide what to weed through and not listen to, or we get anal retentive about it, and okay, now I've got to catch up on these four things because I have four badges here, and I've got to get all the four badges, and I can't just delete it because I have to listen to it.
Yeah, no, I do both things. I either skip that topic, or no, it's a podcast that I like to listen to, so I must listen to this episode.
Yeah, so we know that our listeners probably fall into both of those categories as well. I look at the title and, whatever. So that's one of the last questions I'll sort of ask in the retrospective sense, and then I'll mention one other thing. Do you have a favorite title of an episode? Not necessarily the episode, but we really do work harder than probably we should on trying to be quote unquote clever with our titles. That's something that I've really worked to do, probably succeeded fewer times than I think and have failed more times than I think. Do you actually have a favorite title of an episode?
Oh, goodness. The one that immediately pops in my head, because it was clever, but it also wasn't, in looking at the title, you weren't immediately like, I know exactly what this topic is probably the episode on September 11th, which is titled 42 Minutes. Okay. And it's kind of one of those things where it's related to the topic, which if you listen to the episode, you understand why we named the episode that. So I think it's clever, but it's also one of those things that if you're just scrolling through the feed and you're not looking at the details of the podcast, you don't necessarily know what 42 minutes is a reference to. You might see the date and realize there's a connection, but it's not immediately, I see 42 minutes and go, oh, obviously this is a podcast on September 11th.
For example, episode number 5 that holds the number 2 place on the list, Defeat on D-Day.
Yeah, that's very obvious what that is.
Yeah, it doesn't hide what its topic is about.
Even some that are a little more clever, Diana Buckles Up. You can probably guess the topic of that episode. For 42 minutes is, I think, probably my favorite title. Because, again, it's related to the content, but it's not explicit in its relation to the content.
That's one of my favorites as well, for the exact same reason that you're talking about there. I like the one just because they are the ones that can be alliterative.
Yeah.
So when there's able to be, I'm actually looking through the list now, I have the benefit of having it in front of me. Alexis doesn't, but like a Vistula Variation, I think is a good one. Negated Nuke, again, one that Chris mentioned a couple episodes ago, is there. Carthage Control. Go to that alliterative thing. The other thing I realized is No or Nothing appears a lot in a lot of titles because we're an alternate history podcast. So there's something about negation, no, nothing. So much so that I've had to pay. I had the question of how many episodes in a space of like 10 had like no fill in the blank here. Not as many as I thought. I've done a pretty good job of moving around that, but what's there. Lose the Force may actually be my favorite one. Partly because I enjoyed that podcast being something totally different. It was with some folks, I've known for a long period of time. Had a diverse age blend on that podcast with Robert, who I went to school with, who's my age, a younger Ryan. About Lose the Force was one of my favorites there. So, again, we work hard at that. You want to give us some feedback on whether we do a good job of that or not? I agree. When we're able to sort of hide the topic a little bit behind, although we put a description there, you can read what it's about. Generally speaking, but when we can hide the topic, I think that's a little bit more fun. Having said that, one of the other things that I mentioned to Alexis last week, and a lot has changed in her life, new job, new relationship, all kinds of other fun stuff.
New address.
Yeah, that's been happened in the last year. So I've been toying around with, and I mentioned this on the last show, I want to mention it now because I want Alexis to be a part of this as well so you understand what her take is on this. We've really enjoyed doing this, and a weekly podcast is ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we don't lack for topics. It's all of history and what can be different about it. But it's just being, as we talked about before, you got to get something out every week. You got to get ahead. You got to be disciplined about it. And life just gets in the way of being disciplined about things that way. But I've been intrigued by the idea of doing this other podcast, but not being the primary person that has to be on every episode, just sort of being involved with it, helping it along, really leading a new team of podcasters on a podcast that I'm heavily involved in, but is not quote unquote my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alexis and I talked about this. She may participate in this. I have no doubt that she will, but it's not going to be one of her major points of emphasis as well. So, Alexis, I'm asking you spot cold here on the thing. No advance. Should I tell people what the title of the podcast is and what the concept is?
I mean, only if you want them to get a song stuck in their head, because that's exactly what happened to me.
Actually, I think
I had to go listen to the whole album.
It's how I roll. Actually, I think I planted three songs in your head in the space of about 30 seconds, if I remember the conversation really well now.
Uh-huh.
So the concept is it would be around history. I still want to do another here. I actually want to do some podcasts that aren't history as well, but, you know, move it. Things. So it'd be another history podcast. Different here, not a weekly. Intentionally designed probably to start as a monthly, knowing it's going to have longer episodes, what I call a long-form podcast. The type of thing where the listeners know this is going to be an hour and a half or 2 hours every episode. Now, sometimes our episodes run long. Sometimes our episodes are the Unsinkable Hospital and they run short, so on the average, we're okay. But this is intentionally designed to be a long-form podcast, also why it's done less frequently. And so it's about history, not alternate history. And so the concept that we're talking about there is looking at real historical events and trying to bring something unique to them. My goal there is to look for things that are a little bit more obscure, a little bit more off the beaten path, but are still relevant, but you don't have to take them from the alternate history angle. Because sometimes, frankly, on this podcast, we get so enamored with actually talked about the what did that, you know, okay, now we got to talk about the what if, because that's our format, and we want to be a little older our format. But the title of the podcast, again, this flows off of the clever title thing, I think is an incredibly clever title for a podcast. So should I share it, Lex? Or should I just tease it and tell people to come back later on another episode?
I think you should tease it.
Oh, I should actually give it.
Yeah.
All right. The title of the podcast, and by the way, I've already set it up so that it exists. I haven't started promulgating it out to various podcatchers, but I've already set it up, is going to be The Room Where It Happened. Now, if you are a fan of history, and particularly if you're a fan of musicals, and if you know anything about, there was this little musical, guy, Puerto Rican in descent from New York, his name escapes me. No, it doesn't. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote this little bitty historical musical that, a little buzz in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, it did pretty well.
Did pretty well. Called Hamilton.
Hamilton.
So, for those of you that are familiar with, first of all, if you're not familiar with Hamilton, we may revoke your A Fork in Time.
As I say, please, at least go listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, once. And I doubt there's very few people who aren't familiar with it in some way, shape, form, or fashion, or aren't familiar with the pod track. With the pod track. That would be an interesting thing. With the soundtrack. Simply because if you are a fan of history, you probably were drawn to it. Of course, it you know, uses unique musical genres and everything else with that. But there's a song in there called
The Room Where It Happened.
And Alexis, what is that particular song about in the musical?
So that is about the plan for the treasury, which, of course, Alexander Hamilton was the Secretary of the Treasury. And so it's about the plan that gets passed to set up the treasury of the United States. So now I have it in my head. but it's all about the room where that takes place.
Right. And the deal is that he needs the support of those who are in opposition to him, which are Jefferson and Madison.
Yes.
And so what appears to have happened in history is that they came to an agreement where Hamilton got what he wanted with the financial system, and the capital of the United States, the federal district, which was going to be, that was specified in the Constitution, ends up being in Virginia, basically, Virginia, Maryland, where D.C. is. And so The Room Where It Happens talks about what actually made, what was the deal? What was the trade-off that went on in that room, what, you know, behind closed doors? And so it's one of the more catchy, numbers from the musical. It's been used in other ways. And so the idea is exactly along those lines, which is that it'll look at a history event, but the hook, the catch into it will be the room where it happened, or a room that is somehow related to the event.
And room is a very loose term. We were talking about one topic for this podcast that we have coming up that it's a very big room.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, room can be physical.
Yes.
Or room could also almost become metaphorical, mm-hmm. just not so ridiculously so that it's, you know, that it's stretching beyond all.
Yeah, room is not going to be an entire country per se, but the size of the room can vary greatly.
Right. So just throwing that out here, because if you are interested in being part of that podcast in some way, shape, form, or fashion, if you also go to, there'll be a link in the show notes, but if you also go to our website, which is
aforkintimepodcast.com,
you'll see a link there, which is join the, there it says new podcast in quotes. It doesn't talk about it being the room where it happened. If you find that concept intriguing and you'd like to be a part of it, someone who regularly appears and talks about that, helps develop content for it, just does a behind-the-scenes role of doing some audio editing. There's lots of work that goes on a podcast, so one of my things looking here is for a group, a team of folks who can do that. Reach out, let us know, because, again, one of the things, this ties back all the way back to the beginning thing, so this is how we bring it full circle as we get ready to close out the episode here. This comes from having a community mm-hmm. that we can talk into, that we know have this interest, that might find it interesting. And so we invite you not only just be part of this podcast. This podcast is not going away. That podcast is not replacing this podcast.
We're just growing our network.
We're growing our network. Ooh, we can cross. We can cross at. Ooh, never mind. We can cross market, whatever that means, for growing the audience of both. But it certainly should help the room where it happened to gain a faster audience than A Fork in Time did. If for no other reason, the people that have just heard this or know that it's going to exist. Shooting for that to premiere and be ready to roll out probably sometime in the next 6 to 8 weeks. Because want to spend the time getting... I don't want to do it too quickly because I want to allow enough time for people to get on board, to get organized, and for us to really organize out and have those first 3 to 4 episodes well planned so that we've got the first, in that case, 3 to 4 months of the podcast well built out. So if you find that interesting, link in the show notes, go to the website, you'll be able to get some feedback there and we'll be back in touch with you. So sort of bringing down to a close, coming full circle back around, that's appealing back into our community, to be part of our community, to grow another community, it all comes around full circle. Anything else you just want to, that popped into your head that you want to say before we close out this retrospective? Because we may not do our next one until a number like 150-ish or maybe even
200?
200. So that's going to be at least a year down the road, maybe two.
I have enjoyed this process. It does, you know, you've mentioned this, it can get a little hectic sometimes. We've mentioned this before, this is not our main job. We both have jobs, and I've certainly had a bunch of stuff going on recently, not to mention the fact that we're still living in a pandemic. But this has been really fun, and I look forward to seeing what the next future holds, and especially as we kind of get the room where it happened off the ground and getting things going with that. I'm really excited to see what's coming up next. But yeah, stay tuned. It's been a ride, but we're not done yet.
I appreciate that. And I want to say, I say thank you to our listeners all the time. We'll definitely do that. I want to say thank you to Alexis. She could have just said, no, not going to do that, not interested. Yeah, or she could have said,
I wasn't even in the city when he...
Right. Or she could have just said, that's great. It was fun for a while, but I'm done with this now. And she's done none of those things. So I appreciate, I do appreciate the fact that she's been along for the ride, because this is something that we can't, we share other things, obviously, but this is something that we can share and we enjoy doing that. So we do want to say thank you to our listeners. It makes me feel good to know that somewhere out there, there's literally hundreds of people around the world that I didn't know 2 years ago that at least know of us now and share a passion for what's here. And they come back regularly every week. No matter how stupid we make the title of the episode or maybe how rambling we get or whatever it might be, they're kind and patient enough to do that. And so we appreciate them for that. I guess I said that we're not done, but we're not done. This is known as Columboing, for those of you that even know that. I don't know if Alexis knows that reference, but in 1970s American TV show, Peter Falk played a detective, and one of his techniques was he'd be done asking questions of the person, and he'd get to the door, basically like touch the doorknob, one more thing. And so I'm known for doing this also in my business world. Don's got a Columbo on us here is what somebody will say. It's actually even a business sales technique of, you know, the one more thing you might come back and ask a prospect. But my Columbo moment here actually does relate around what we've talked about doing, which is what's going on with our Patreon page. don't think I've actually talked about this. We talked about that this off podcast, not on podcast.
Correct, this, right? Yes. Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to do, I mentioned this last week again, but I'm going to mention it again with Alexis here, is this is a new renewed commitment to make sure that we have unique, special, patron-only content on the Patreon page. So Alexis is nodding up and down. She's now going to say some words that suggest we're committed to that, right?
Yes, and we have a topic in mind some exclusive content.
Yeah, and I mentioned this in episode 101, just mentioning it briefly here again in case you didn't hear that. We're going to do an extended, my guess is it's probably going to be at least 8, could be as many as 10 to 12 episodes over a 2 to 3 month, maybe a little bit longer period of time, focusing on the late Bronze Age collapse and all of the historical what-ifs that go from that. And this fits back in with something I talked about also last episode. Big themes. These are big themes that literally impact centuries right after that time frame, which is roughly 1250 BC down to maybe about 1100. But it goes much beyond that. This literally goes, this has millennia, impacts on millennia moving forward. And so if you haven't already become a patron, one of the reasons to go and become a patron, other than the fact that you love us and you want to give us a little bit of financial support in addition to all the other non-financial support that we know we get from you, is that you're going to get something back for that. You're going to get access to that particular series as well as some other content that's going to be there. And part of the reason we're doing these two episodes is we're also in the process right now of getting our buffer built back up with episodes ahead, which means once we have that, the exclusive release, where we release episodes a week or two ahead of time on Patreon, won't be every week, but when we have them there, you'll see more of those coming out, so a chance to get a preview early look at the show before it goes into the main feed. So just wanted to mention that really quick. Anything else before we close out, Lex?
Thank you, hit on everything.
All right. So again, we're going to say thank you, and we're going to close out here. And we're going to remind you that as we close out, that we think if you encounter a fork in time, one of the things you might want to do is...
Take it.
Have a great day, guys.
And cue dance mix.
Thanks for listening to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast. Learn more and provide feedback by visiting our website at www.aforkintimepodcast.com. Connect to us on Facebook at facebook.com/aforkintime or follow us on Twitter at AFITpodcast. If you want to support the show financially, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/aforkintime. We hope you will join us next time.